We were dumb kids, always looking for a thrill, especially on the weekends when there wasn't much to do in our small town. You know the type. Small community, quiet streets, and the nearest mall was 45 minutes away. Cornfields stretched for miles in every direction, disappearing into the horizon. They'd been a backdrop for as long as I could remember, but we hardly paid them any mind. They were just there. But on this particular night, we made the worst decision of our lives. We decided to sneak into Mr. Wilkins' cornfield. It wasn't the first time we'd messed around in the corn, but there was something about doing it at night that felt different. The idea came from Connor, of course. He was always the one who pushed things too far. "Come on," he'd said with a mischievous grin. "I dare you to go in the corn at night. You know it'll be creepy as hell. Besides, everyone says Wilkins' field is haunted." I rolled my eyes at the idea, but in the back of my mind, I wondered if maybe, just maybe, there was something to it. It was stupid, really. No one believed in ghosts, not seriously anyway. Still, when the whole group, Connor, Jace, Taylor, and me, it was easy to get pulled into that kind of thinking. It was the thrill of it all, the chance to prove we weren't scared, that we could do something crazy and come out the other side laughing. So, we went. It was a Friday night, and the crickets were out in full force, their chirps filling the otherwise still night. The moon hung low in the sky, casting everything in a faint silver glow. We snuck across the road and hopped the wooden fence that separated Mr. Wilkins' property from the road. The corn stretched out in front of us, tall and dark, swaying slightly in the wind, like it was alive. "Last chance to back out," Connor taunted, looking over his shoulder at us. None of us said a word, but Taylor hesitated. She always had that look when she wasn't sure about something, like she wanted to say no but didn't want to be the odd one out. We teased her about it all the time. "It's just corn, Tay. You'll be fine," Jace said, nudging her forward. And so we entered, the stalks closing around us, forming a living wall that blocked out the world behind us. The sounds of the town faded, and we were left with just the rustle of the corn and the faint crunch of our feet on the dry soil. At first, it was almost fun. We made jokes, laughed, and even pretended to scare each other by jumping out from behind the rows. But after a while, the laughter started to die down. The deeper we went, the more oppressive the silence became. The corn seemed to stretch on forever, the stalks towering over us, making it impossible to see more than a few feet in any direction. That's when we heard the whispering. It started soft, so quiet that I thought it was just the wind playing tricks on us. But then it came again, clearer, like someone was standing just behind the next row, talking in hushed tones. It didn't make any sense. No one else was supposed to be out there, not at this hour. "Did you guys hear that?" Taylor asked. We all nodded. "It's probably just the wind," Jace said, but he didn't sound convinced. He looked at Connor, hoping for some reassurance, but Connor was staring at the corn. The whispering continued, growing louder, but we still couldn't make out any words. It was a constant murmur, like a conversation happening just out of earshot. "Let's go check it out," Connor suggested. He spoke with that familiar, reckless confidence he always carried in situations like this. He started forward before any of us could argue, pushing through the stalks with purpose. The rest of us followed, though a lot less enthusiastically. As we moved closer, the whispers increased, as if they were aware of our presence. They seemed to come from all directions now, swirling around us, filling the air. I could see Taylor getting more and more anxious, her eyes darting around as if she expected something to jump out at us at any moment. That's when we realized someone was missing. "Wait," Jace said, stopping dead in his tracks. "Where's Connor?" We all stopped looking around, but he was gone. One second he'd been leading the way, and the next, nothing. I called out his name, but my voice felt small, swallowed up by the rustling corn and the strange murmurs that filled the air. "Maybe he's messing with us," Taylor whispered, though her voice trembled, "trying to freak us out." "Connor," I called again, louder this time. Nothing, just the whispering. We stood there for what felt like an eternity, frozen in place, unsure of what to do. Every time I tried to focus on the source of the whispers, they seemed to shift, like they were moving through the corn, leading us further into the field. "Let's get out of here," Taylor said. "We'll find him back at the road." But Jace shook his head. "We can't leave him out here alone." I didn't know what to say. I wanted to go back to get out of that damn cornfield and never come back, but leaving Connor behind didn't feel right either. We decided to split up, even though everything inside me screamed that it was a bad idea. Jason Taylor took one direction, while I went the other. The corn closed in around me, and soon I couldn't even see them anymore. It was just me and the whispers. I moved slowly, listening, trying to pick up any sign of Connor. But the deeper I went, the louder the whispers became, filling my ears, pressing in on me. It was like they were trying to tell me something, but I couldn't make out the words. They were too jumbled, too distorted. Then, out of nowhere, I heard a rustling ahead of me, and I stopped, holding my breath. Something was moving through the corn, something large. I couldn't see it, but I could feel it, the weight of its presence bearing down on me. Connor? No answer, just the whispers. I took a step forward, and that's when I saw him, Connor, standing just a few feet away, his back to me. Relief washed over me, and I called his name again, but he didn't turn around. Connor, I shouted, moving closer. Come on, man, this isn't funny. Still no response. I reached out to grab his shoulder, but before I could touch him, he turned, slowly, his eyes wide and distant, like he wasn't really seeing me. Connor, shh, he whispered, cutting me off. It's waiting. I stared at him, confused. What are you talking about? What's waiting? But he didn't answer. He just stared past me, his eyes unfocused, like he was seeing something I couldn't. And then, without another word, he turned and walked back into the corn. I called after him, but he didn't stop. He just kept walking, disappearing into the rows. I didn't follow him. I don't know how long I stood there, listening to the whispers, trying to process what had just happened. But eventually, I turned and ran, pushing through the corn, back toward the road. When I finally made it back, Jason Taylor were waiting for me, their faces pale and drawn. I told them what had happened, but they didn't say anything. We didn't talk much after that. We just left, hoping Connor would show up on his own. Eventually, Connor went back to his home alone. We found him the next morning, sitting by the sidewalk in front of his house, staring blankly at the ground. He didn't say a word, just kept muttering under his breath about something waiting in the corn. He never told us what he saw that night. And every time we mentioned that day, he'd get angry and shut down the conversation. A while later, I moved away to college and ended up losing contact with them. I grew up in a small town, and that meant that we had to make our own fun. My friends and I spent nearly every afternoon after school playing games in the wide, open fields behind our houses. We lived near an old farm where the previous owners had passed away and their children did not want to take over the property, so the place was abandoned with those rows of tall corn that grew wild and unchecked. It had become our playground over the years, a perfect spot for hide and seek. For us, it was a world of adventure and imagination. You could get lost in there, and sometimes that's exactly what we wanted. I was always the best at hiding. I liked slipping away into the rows of corn, the soft rustling of leaves covering my footsteps, and knowing that no one could find me. It was thrilling in a way that made your heart race, knowing you were hidden, but not alone. One afternoon, in particular, sticks with me more than any other. We'd just finished school, and the late summer sun was already beginning to set. I was with my usual group of friends, Tommy, Jenna, and Catherine. It was Catherine's turn to seek, and as usual, I found a spot deep in the field, crouching low behind a thick wall of corn. I could hear the others laughing and running through the stalks as they hurried to find their own hiding spots. The excitement of the game always made time blur, and I remember closing my eyes for a moment, listening to the faint breeze rattle the leaves around me. I couldn't hear Catherine anymore. She must have started counting. Ready or not, here I come! Catherine's voice rang out across the field, and I smiled, knowing she'd never find me here. I stayed perfectly still, waiting for the game to unfold. Minutes passed, and I began to hear footsteps again, the swish of corn stalks being pushed aside as Catherine moved through the field. It was hard to tell where she was exactly, but that was part of the fun. She would occasionally call out in a playful voice, pretending to know where we were hiding. Then the footsteps got closer, much closer. I leaned forward a little, peeking through the stalks, expecting to see Catherine's silhouette moving through the corn. but I didn't see her. The sound was there, the soft crunch of footsteps, but there was no one in sight. Tommy? Jenna? I whispered, but no one answered. I thought about moving to another spot, just in case, but something held me still. That's when I heard the voice, a low, rumbling sound that didn't belong. It wasn't Catherine. It wasn't Tommy or Jenna. It was deep, almost like a growl, but it formed a name. Catherine. It was right behind me, only a few feet away. I hadn't seen anyone come near, hadn't heard anyone approach that close. The cornfield was dense, but I should have been able to see them. My breath caught in my throat, and I didn't dare turn around. I told myself it had to be a trick. Maybe Tommy trying to scare me. But the voice was wrong, too low, and it said her name again. Catherine. I scrambled to my feet, pushing through the corn, my heart thudding in my chest. I stumbled out of my hiding spot, breathing hard as I ran back toward the open field where we'd started the game. I didn't stop until I broke through to the clearing, where the golden light of the setting sun felt like a lifeline. Tommy and Jenna were already there, sitting on the ground and laughing about something. When they saw me, they jumped to their feet, startled by the look on my face. "What's wrong?" "Did you guys hear that? Did you hear someone calling Catherine's name?" Jenna squinted at me, as if trying to decide whether I was playing a joke or not. "No one called her. We were waiting for you. I thought you were still hiding." "I was, but there was someone else in the field. I heard them. They were right behind me." "Are you sure?" "It's probably just your imagination. You always freak yourself out in the cornfield." I shook my head. My hands were trembling. "No, it was real. I swear. It wasn't any of you. It was someone else." Jenna stood up. "Maybe you just got scared because it's getting dark." I wanted to argue, to insist that what I'd heard was real. The voice had been so clear, so close. But when I looked back at the cornfield, it seemed so still, so quiet. I was starting to doubt myself. But then Catherine got out of the field. I heard it too. Her voice was shaky. We all turned to look at her. Catherine had been the last one to come back. She stood there, staring at the cornfield like it was a stranger, no longer the familiar playground we had always known. "What do you mean you heard it?" Tommy asked. "When I was looking for you guys, I heard someone call my name too. It wasn't like us, though. It wasn't playful." We were silent for a moment, letting her words sink in. The sun had already set completely, and the cornfield felt ominous rather than comforting. "It's probably just some farmer messing with us," Tommy said. Catherine shook her head. "No, it wasn't a farmer. There was no one there." We stood there, staring at the cornfield, waiting for something else to happen, but the field stayed silent. The wind was moving through the stalks like it was mocking us for being scared. "We should go. It's getting late," Jenna said. We agreed, none of us eager to stay any longer. We gathered our things and made our way back to the road. I couldn't help but feel like we were being watched, though every time I turned to look, there was nothing there. Just rows and rows of corn, standing tall and silent. That night, after I'd gone home and climbed into bed, I couldn't stop thinking about what had happened. And the fact that Catherine had heard it too made it all the more terrifying. For weeks after that, we avoided the cornfield. No more games of hide and seek, no more daring each other to go deeper into the stalks. We stuck to the open fields where the light was bright. But every now and then I would catch Tommy or Jenna looking toward the cornfield, as if they were waiting for something to emerge from its depths. Eventually, life went back to normal, and the memory of that day faded into the background. But even now, all these years later, I can still remember that voice vividly.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.